Merry Christmas. Oh, Happy Easter. Happy Easter. It's good to see all of you here this morning, having the church full, and I want to give a special welcome to the visitors who have come, who make this a special Easter tradition every year. It's so good to have you with us. We've already been celebrating downstairs with all the eating going on, and I hope and pray that that joyful spirit continues into our worship time together. As Mary stood outside the empty tomb weeping on that first Easter morning, weeping because she didn't know where Jesus' body had been taken, Jesus appeared to her, but she didn't recognize him. She didn't recognize him until he called her by name. And I've often wondered, what was it about the way Jesus said Mary's name that caused her to recognize him? What was it about the tone in his voice? What would it be like if Jesus spoke to you this morning, called you by name? Just imagine that. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Rejoice, O earth. Sing, O heavenly choirs. Give glory to God. Our God has triumphed. God has become our strength and salvation. Christ, who was put to death on the cross, has been raised to life. Therefore, we shall not die, but we shall live and proclaim what the Lord has done. We have been raised to life with Christ. And we know that when he appears, we shall appear with him and share his glory. This is the day of the Lord's victory. This is the day of the resurrection. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. O living God, who raised Jesus from the dead and brought new life on Easter morning, we lift our hearts in praise. We shout your great victory. We sing hymns of joy. Even when our hearts are heavy and our eyes are dimmed by sorrow, you are ever faithful. You comfort all who mourn, and you wipe away all tears. You bring joy in the morning. Teach us, O God, to trust in your gracious love, to rest in your unfailing goodness, to hope in your true promise, that we may rejoice all our days and share the good news. Death is defeated. All were made alive in you. Alleluia. Amen. Alleluia. Amen. And Jen and Lynn, I'll ask you to come forward and lead our songs.
Please turn with me to number 280 in the hymnal, and let's stand together to sing our opening hymns.
Thank you.
I invite all the children to come up to the front now for your time with Judy this morning.
Good morning to all my fine friends. I don't think I know all your names. No. Now, if you've been with us for the last number of Sundays, you'll know that we've been talking about something very special. Do you know what we've been talking about?
Prayer.
Prayer, you're right. And last week it was an acting out prayer, and I watched as you acted that out. Today we have a different kind of prayer. I wonder if any of you might know what our prayer is going to be today. Does this give you an idea? What would you use these things for? Right, and you're right, for looking at things. And today our prayer is a looking prayer. So if you do a looking prayer, what does that tell you about your eyes? They're good. They better be good. What else does it tell you about your eyes? You have to be able to
see.
Well, can I see now?
No.
Oh, no. So what do I have to do with my eyes? Have my eyes open. Well, today would have been a beautiful day. Not really, because of the snow. But it should have been a beautiful day to have an outside looking prayer. We could have looked at all the snow. I looked out and saw birds today. But we can't do that today, so we're going to have to do an inside looking prayer. But the next... I think I'm off there. But the next time you go outside, in your backyard or at the park or going for a walk, do a little looking prayer.
Water.
And that's what we get with the snow outside. We get water, don't we?
Our scripture for today is taken from Isaiah 25, verses 6 to 9. Here on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will throw a feast for all the people of the world, a feast of the finest foods, a feast with vintage wines, a feast of seven courses, a feast lavish with gourmet desserts. And here on this mountain, God will banish the pall of doom hanging over all peoples, the shadow of doom darkening all nations. Yes, he'll banish death forever, and God will wipe the tears from every face. He'll remove every sign of disgrace from his people wherever they are. Yes, God says so. And also at that time, people will say, "Look at what's happened. This is our God. We waited for him, and he showed up and saved us. This God, the one we waited for. Let's celebrate. Sing the joys of his salvation. God's hand rests on this mountain." Gentlemen.
Number 124 has been our theme song. Let's sing it together.
Thank you.
Could you take your bulletins, please, and turn to the back, and we're going to read the call to authenticity. There you go again, God, turning things inside out and upside down.
Bringing life out of the grave sounds good to us. We're nervous about what else you might have in mind.
Following your lead means letting go of ours.
And letting go is hard.
Yet you are good. You are the one for whom we have waited.
Help us rejoice in your salvation.
It is good to give thanks to our good God, whose faithful love lasts forever. Let Israel say it, God's faithful love lasts forever. Let those who honor the Lord say it, God's faithful love lasts forever. Let each person, from youngest to oldest, say it. Let's say it together. God's faithful love lasts forever. All right, Matthew, we'll turn the time over to you.
Christ is risen today. The grave could not hold him. How will we live today? Upside down, inside out has been our theme during Lent. We have been challenged to see that we may not so much need a reset as an invitation not to settle, a call to grow up rather than to simply grow. Growing up asks us to take a second look at what we thought we knew, what we thought was decided, what we thought we were done with, and to discover that there is more than we saw at first glance. Growing up means not only saying, but actually knowing in our bones that God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. Growing up means recognizing that death is absolutely real, and yet also absolutely powerless to stop God's reign from coming here on earth as it is in heaven. During Lent and now into the Easter season, we seek to continue our journey of growing up, opening ourselves to be remade, reshaped, recasted, trusting in the power of God's love, trusting that the grave could not hold Jesus, and longing for the coming of God's reign here on earth as it is in heaven. The Easter story is the ultimate Christian story, which robs us of our understanding of how things should work, of God's foolishness. The promises of Isaiah, which are fulfilled in the Easter story, recorded in the Gospel of John, challenge our presuppositions about what it means to be human, how the human world functions. It is hard for us to accept the freedom of the Easter story without first letting go of our need for things to happen the way we expect them to, upside down and inside out. There are many moments in life in which we confront the limits of our knowledge and we step out in faith that things will work out, that good is possible, that joy can be experienced again. It is this stepping out which gives us strength and energy to keep moving on. In these moments of stepping out, we often, most often, do not have all the answers, but we simply step out in faith. We believe that there is a way forward, that there is hope. Today on Easter morning, we give voice to the fundamental belief that God has offered us the unthinkable, the unimaginable. So much so, so unimaginable that we may be tempted to doubt that it can be possibly true. And so as we seek to be remade, reshaped, recasted, can we learn to let go of our need to understand it all, to have all the details, so we can simply be freed to receive the gift of salvation. This is a moment in history which is beyond our full comprehension. And it is good and natural and important to question, to wonder. To wonder about the exact details and literalness of the story. To wonder about how things could have happened. But in the end, rational understanding is more about us, if we're not careful, us wanting control, as opposed to us letting go, opening ourselves to the mystery of the resurrection, the mystery of death being swallowed up. And in our desire to be in control, we miss out on the gift, the joy of the mystery. I sense that in subtle ways we experience glimpses of God's mysterious truth throughout our lives when we experience moments of new life, of new possibilities, of hope springing up in places where we did not expect hope to ever be found again. Little glimpses when we open ourselves to the mystery of God's truth, little glimpses of rebirth and renewal which give witness to God's power and God's truth. With this in mind, we look back in Jesus' history, long before the person of Jesus lived on earth, to the prophet Isaiah. The text that Lois read is a wonderful text of salvation and new life, a celebration of a rich feast shared around a table. Within this book, the history of the people, this text comes as a surprising interruption to a very painful section. The historical context is that the country of Israel is in disarray. Things are falling apart. Everywhere Isaiah sees signs of God's punishment. He declares a few verses earlier, "The earth is utterly broken. The earth is torn asunder. The earth is violently shaken. The moon will be abashed and the sun ashamed." And later, everything has been laid to waste by God. Even the wine cellars, Isaiah says. The wine dries up, the vine languishes, all the merry hearted sigh, the mirth of the timbrels is stilled, the noise of the jubilant has ceased. This is the context of our verses of Scripture this morning, which burst out upon us a sudden interjection into the misery. Nobody expects it as a great feast is announced. Somehow it signals in the midst of misery that God is doing something new. Whatever pain and distress the people have been feeling, God will now wipe away the tears from their face. The people celebrate with a festive banquet because, according to the text, God has had something to eat. God has swallowed up death forever. Their struggles are not gone. Likely they still have many unanswered questions, but they feast open to the mystery of Easter, open to the promise that God has swallowed up death, that there is hope, there is light. Death is the main course for Easter dinner, Isaiah proclaims. This is a strange promise. Some scholars say this is mythical language, that it is a large and comprehensive language, story which shapes our world vision, how we see and understand the world. In Isaiah's day, they suggest one of the local Canaanite gods was Mot, the local god of death. And Yahweh, the God of Israel, will finally swallow up Mot. Yahweh swallowing up Mot, the death god. The death god who had been consuming everything is now swallowed up. The battle between good and evil has been won. This is one interpretation, one way of trying to give understanding to these words, this text. Whatever the exact details, the core belief is that God has swallowed up death. Good has won out over evil. That is the great Easter dinner. When the Apostle Paul thinks about the resurrection of Jesus, he announces it is the first in the chain reaction of events. Christ is risen, death is defeated. That means that death no longer has any power over God's people. The power of Easter gets larger and larger until Paul says, similar to Isaiah in 1 Corinthians, death has been swallowed up in victory. It is clear Easter morning is the beginning of something big. According to all the accounts in the gospel narratives that give witness to this story, something big is happening. Women in all go to the tomb to remember their crucified Lord. They discover the tomb is open. There is nobody inside, and someone in white declares, "Jesus is alive. He is going ahead of you." What does all this mean? They don't know yet. They don't fully understand, but they know something new is beginning. God is doing something big, new, different. Something has changed. As Isaiah looks ahead to this extraordinary meal, he sees that everything and everybody will be changed. All people shall eat the feast, he says. All people shall have the death shroud destroyed. All the tears will be wiped away by God. This is a universal vision, a grand vision, bigger than any one people. Something really big has begun by the resurrection of Christ. The Bible's word for this is salvation. It is the experience of being rescued. It is the knowledge that nothing will ever be able to beat you. It is the trust that God is stronger than any competing threat. It is the confidence that nothing in death or life can separate us from the power of God's love. It is opening oneself up to this mystery without full rational understanding, because we can never fully rationally understand or enter into the mind of God. But opening ourselves up to this mystery on Easter, death has been swallowed. Abundant life is here. Christ has risen today. How will we live today? Open to the mystery that the grave cannot hold us. Salvation, abundant life, opening ourselves to this mystery, joining this feast, draws us into an encounter with the person of Jesus, how he lived, confident that ultimately death was no match for the power and love of God. In verse 9 of what Lois read, it will be said on that day, "Lo, This is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we've waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Amidst the questions, uncertainties, and struggles of faith and life, we who are gathered today boldly claim that death has been swallowed up in victory. This is our core conviction deep within our being. Upside down and inside out, remade, reshaped, recasted, how will we live today? This is a moment to say we want to follow in the steps of Jesus because we are confident that the grave will not hold us. We desire to live with our eyes and our hearts wide open, fully engaging with our surroundings, serving others in love, praying through agony and struggle, engaging our dreams, overcoming our egos, and looking beyond ourselves to the larger good, finding the strength to endure betrayal, setbacks, rejection, without striking back at others, willingly joining in the suffering of others, perhaps carrying them for a moment so they can experience healing and new life. Are we willing to open ourselves to the mystery of Easter morning? Are you willing to follow in the steps of Jesus, to believe in the foolishness of God's wisdom, what this means for you today in your personal life, your family, your work, your neighborhood, and your world? That is our question as we open ourselves to God's mystery. I invite you now to view the video again to bring conclusion. How would you live? If you knew you would rise. That the grave could not hold you. Jesus knew and he showed us. Served his friends. In love. He prayed through agony. With submission. Endured betrayal without striking back. He obeyed his father in the midst of great suffering. He carried the burden that was not his own. Finished his mission unto death, to make it possible for us to live, knowing we will rise, that the grave will not hold us. And so the question remains, how will we live today? How will we live today? I invite, as a response to the sermon, the people who are part of the Easter Choral Litany to come forward. And I will just, for you, the congregation, there will be a few responses as a part of the reading, and our words that I will lead us with, simply when I put my hand up, it'll be your cue for us as congregation. And we can practice the words, "The Lord is risen indeed, alleluia. The Lord is risen indeed, alleluia." So when I go like this, we'll respond, "The Lord is risen indeed, alleluia." And Jenlyn, you'll lead us first.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new.
We take on a new way of looking at the world and seeing God's creation through eyes of love. We have become new creatures, following the words and wisdom of Jesus Christ.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation.
In the humanity of Christ, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, in the humanity of Christ, we have glimpsed the face of God. As new creatures, we assume the responsibility of carrying God's love throughout the world.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia. We are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God.
As God's representatives on earth, we are invited to become the words and wisdom of Christ. Our words and actions broadcast the good news of the resurrection.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
God gave the world a gift of such magnitude and showed us a love so amazing, we can't begin to understand it.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
and hear once again the words from Isaiah. In Jerusalem, the Lord of hosts will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine and choice meat. There he will remove the cloud of gloom and the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken. In that day, the people will proclaim, "This is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation he brings." And I'll ask the ushers now to come forward to collect the offering. Let's pray. God of great gifts, this morning we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you thanks. With resurrection humming in our hearts, our minds are turned to you, Song of Peace. We joyfully present these gifts to you, a tangible chorus of thanksgiving, a harmony of hope for your kingdom to come. Amen. Does anyone have any announcements they'd like to make this morning? Please come forward and do so.
Thank God it's Monday. I don't know how many people of you feel like that, but we're going to have a three-week series on this theme of Thank God It's Monday. And Matthew and I are hoping to visit some of you at your workplace in the next 3 weeks. For those for whom that is possible, I have a sign-up sheet. And if you write your name down, your workplace, and maybe an appropriate time for us to show up. And we won't stay forever, but just to check in. And next Sunday, Matthew and I won't be here. We are very happy that our good friend Tanya Dix Diamond will be ordained at East Sora, and we want to be there at the service. But Alan Sauter from MEDA is coming, and he's hoping to start off this theme on Thank God It's Monday by seeing how we integrate our faith into our everyday life. So he will start the series and will end hopefully with a panel on the 26th of those, some of you sharing how you integrate your Sunday morning worship experience with your Monday to Friday work experience. So we're looking forward to this short series, and we hope some of you can sign up and we can come and see you. If there's too many of you signed up, we might just have to spread it out, but our worship series will still end on the 26th, but we might still come and visit you afterwards.
Just a reminder that to the women of the congregation, if you're interested in going to the April the 18th meeting in Listowel, I would like your registration forms and money today. For those of you coming to Sewing Circle on Tuesday, we can do it then. So if anybody has something today that you want to go to it, please see me after the service.
Let's turn together to number 277, and let's stand to sing this song, please.
We'll move into our time of prayer and sharing. If you do have a joy or a concern you would like to share with the larger congregation, I invite you to do so. The one thing I just wanted to note, it's in the bulletin about the Jesse tree at the back in the foyer. Some have noticed over the Lenten season, different ornaments been put on there and no word mentioned of it. It's visually, it gives witness to the variety of people that have been a part of the story of faith, God's story, leading before Jesus, those who walked with Jesus. And for me, as I reflect on that, as we move into our sharing time, in that it also gives witness to that we are a part of that story. As it gives witness to those before Jesus, those with Jesus, it also in that gives witness to all of us continue walking with Jesus today and living out the mystery of Easter and how we live. So with that in mind, in that sense of we are a part of that journey. Is there any joys or concerns you'd like to share with the congregation? Yeah, an infection. It was a joyful breakfast, wonderful to visit, reconnect, and to also sit, kind of the idea of Judy's prayer this morning with the children. A few moments for myself to sit and really in prayer with my eyes wide open, just appreciating the chatter of many people engaging in conversation and visiting together. And I encourage, celebrate that and encourage that as we, as service closes and we move into the coming week, that we continue to engage in conversation and engage in caring for each other. Let us pray together. God of the bright and morning star, God of the rising sun, God of darkness banished, we praise and worship you. For empty tombs, thank you. For disciples running with good news, thank you. For your presence, alive, powerful, resurrected, thank you. We celebrate your victory over death, over all the powers that would defeat us. Help us to grasp resurrection, to understand its power, to see its force at work in our world, overturning evil empires, changing the hatred within us, moving the world slowly, forcefully, bending us towards love and truth. On this day of great gladness, as we feast, empower us to be your ambassadors, proclaiming good news. Good news in our kitchens and living rooms, good news in the offices and workshops, good news in the fields and factories. Help us to be that good news, walking softly on this good earth, caring gently for all people, living hopefully into your kingdom. As we pray today, we think of all those who are grieving. We pray for the sick and dying. We pray for Bob Glendenning as he's dealing with infection resulting from a tooth extraction and is in the hospital at this point. We pray for places in the world that are torn by war and bloodshed. We grieve with the families of the 148 people killed at a college in Kenya. And we grieve, as religious people, the impact of religious extremists around our world. And yet, in this world of broken hopes and dreams, we celebrate our joys. We celebrate glimpses of renewal and rebirth that we have experienced. As we feast around tables, we catch sight of your kingdom come in the person of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns in us forever. Amen.
Let's stand for our final hymn, and let's stay standing for the benediction, number 611.
Thank you.
you can find your bulletins and turn to the back page again, we'll read the call to commitment together. God turns the world upside down and inside out, bringing life out of death and beginnings out of endings.
God, we offer you our hands, our hearts.
Take from them whatever prevents us from following Jesus through death and into new life. We want to be fully usable for you.